and I can see the ground now. I'm way too gone, way too gone. All right, legends, welcome back, dude, to yet another episode of Get Around Me. What a time it is to be alive, truly. Broadcasting live out of Melbourne City this morning. What a time it is to be alive indeed, my friends. Dear Lord, what a vibe in this town. The culture, the energy, the vibration. And if you're not in Melbourne, I'll stop you right there because you don't get it. If you're not boots on the ground in this cultural hub of a city, you don't understand and you never will. So what a privilege it is to be here. Sorry for the late podcast this morning. As any man who woke up in Melbourne this morning, I was absolutely rocked to the core by the AFL drug scandal. Holy shit, dude. Terrifying stuff. I hope the league can survive. I've been analysing it from every angle this morning. I still don't really understand it. They didn't say what drugs were done and by who, which I would argue are the core details of any drug scandal worth its salt. Really, drug scandals, and I don't want to get too house on the hill this early in the pod. And I hate to be talking about narcotics this early as well. You think I want to come out of the gate swinging with this sort of MA 15 plus stuff? No. But I'm a Melbourne man with 2 feet on the ground, and any straight man in the surrounding suburbs of this area has to take these things extremely seriously. I love the AFL. It's Australia's game. I've always said it. But I would argue, regardless of the sport, any drug scandal worth its salt should contain the details of what drug done by which pelican. So, not sure how this clarifies as a drug scandal per se. They said up to 100 players have been caught for something we don't know about, and they'll be getting let off. So, I'm not sure if the word drugs and or the word scandal means something different in this town, but very bizarre scenes down here, very bizarre scenes. So, reeling, gathering myself, looking to face the world, and yeah, recording, I don't know, midday on a Thursday or whatever, so a bit of a different vibe for me, but I love Melbourne. First show of 11 shows done last night. Good to get the first one out of the way. Thanks to everyone who came to the first show, obviously. I'll be candid, and I don't like to be this aggressive this early, but we've already spoken about drugs, but last night's show was particularly good. A lot of fun, and I was really nervous because it's a brand new show, first time doing it in its entirety. I was mostly nervous about remembering it. You know, people say stand-up comedy. How do you do it? Are you scared of the audience? How do you have the confidence to get up there? Most of it is remembering. If you can get this stuff to stay in your head despite a crippling weed addiction, you are 90% of the way there to becoming one of the East Coast's finest stand-up comedians. So I didn't forget anything. It was such a fun show. 10 to go, which is hilarious. So come on down. I'm not sure what the vibe is around town on Good Friday in Melbourne, but got a few tickets going for tomorrow night if anyone's keen on a bit of stand-up comedy, potentially tinged with some Christianity. I went to a Catholic school, so I am more than qualified to do some Catholic banter up top if that's what the city calls for. But come on down, 10 shows to go at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. And I can now say with certainty that this year's show slaps. In the build-up to this tour, guys, a lot of chat around town. This is my best show ever. I'm so excited about this. Speculation at best, okay? I was marketing. That is smoke and mirrors of the highest order. I knew the show was going to be good, but you got to see the whole thing in its entirety, you know? You can't just face balls on the bowling machine. You got to get out there and get runs when it matters. You got to get to tee, then start playing the cover drive afterwards, foot on the throat type stuff. So I can now say with certainty that this show is really good, and I always knew I was good, so come on down, Melbourne, and then I'm hitting the rest of Australia after this two-week run here in Melbourne. So get around me, etc. But anyway, dude, so what's been happening? Yeah, so I got to Melbourne yesterday. I did what I always do when I get to a fantastic city in Australia. Within 25 minutes, I was like, I should move here. I do it every time. Literally walking to my first show last night, got the tram, got the AirPods in. Dude, honestly, like AirPods in, walking to a solo show, stay out of my way, dude. I got Camp Cope going, and I'm fired up, okay? And I'm walking through the city of Melbourne. It's like 6 p.m., so there's a buzz around town. And I just thought, God damn it, my lease ends in Surry Hills next April, and I'm out of here. I can't wait to come back to this city. God, I just live and breathe Melbourne, you know? And that would be a high compliment to this city if I didn't think the exact same thing in Wollongong 2 weeks ago. So I honestly am just an absolute simp for a new place, and I'm glass half full, you know? The weather's 21, it's not raining. I think I got to move here. And I'm a positive person, and I don't apologize for that. But anyway, so what did I want to talk about? It's sort of more of a lifestyle vignette today. Second half with Rowan Arneal, we recorded it on Tuesday, and that one's a lot of fun. So bit of solo stuff up here from me on the couch of this beautiful Airbnb. I had Laura Coleman open the show last night, which was great. Rowan was not able to open the show. Even though he did arrive in Melbourne yesterday, his flight got here at 8 p.m. So I did have to explain to him that if he was landing in Melbourne at 8 p.m., that would mean he would be unable to open my 7 p.m. show. Took him a while to wrap his head around the fact that time is linear, but he's on top of that now. Had Laura Coleman open the show, a fantastic Sydney stand-up comedian, one of my mates. She opened the show with a joke about laser hair removal. Doing a laser hair removal joke at a Billy Darcy stand-up show. That's got to be one of the bravest opening swings I've ever seen. She said, I'm confident Billy won't be talking about this in his set. So good, dude. Laser hair removal at a Billy Darcy show, that's kind of like being progressive at a Nazi rally, you know? The lads are like, what the fuck are you talking about? So Laura killed. I'm having openers at this year's Melbourne Comedy Festival, which you're not really supposed to do. It's very frowned upon in Melbourne. They love their coffee and they hate opening acts, and that's all you have to know. There's this thing that in Melbourne that it should be like a one-man festival show or what have you. You should probably use a projector if possible. They're absolutely begging you to get some multimedia involved down here. Holy shit, God forbid you pull out one of those Bluetooth clickers. They just start putting medals around your neck at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, but I'm trying to start a trend to have openers at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I will admit, from an awards perspective, it does make the show maybe 3,000 times easier for the comedian. You go on after a hot Laura Coleman 5 minutes, it's a dream, okay? It's way easier to just absolutely then basically poleaxe the next 50 minutes into the core of the earth in front of a warm crowd of people who already liked you before they walked in the door. So that's an absolute pleasure. But also, I just think it's a fantastic way to cross-promote these shows, because there's about 40,000 shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. 20,000 of them are sort of B-grade English acts that the festival produces, and a lot of our registration fees goes to promoting their shows, even though they have no fans in this country. So I thought, you know, opening acts, it's the perfect way to cross-promote the shows. I'm starting it, and we'll see how it goes. But off to a flyer, having Laura Coleman open for me last night. And I've got Rowan the next few nights, and I think I've got Freddie a couple of nights on the weekend. And yeah, dude, it's all happening. What do I want to talk about first? Yeah, all right, so Freddie's into me because the Airbnb doesn't have hot water. And it's like, well, you book it, mate. You know? You book the Airbnb, Freddie. Jesus Christ, who's checking the Airbnb listings for hot water would be my first question. I wasn't expecting this to be like an up-in-the-air thing. And I think we've been screwed. I got to message the chick, but the shower has no hot water, right? Me, glass half full, I just immediately transform into Wim Hof. No worries. Not really looking forward to washing my hair later today, but as far as a 5-minute ice cold shower before your first show of the Melbourne Comedy Festival, dude, I was absolutely fucking charging down whatever street I was walking on. Still tingling from the cold shower. It's 17 degrees outside. I got the AirPods in, Camp Cope blaring. Bit of Footscray Station playing as I charge into Melbourne to take over this town. I don't know what your problem is, Freddie. Also, I will say there is hot water, but it only works in the bath. So you can have a hot bath. And I was under the impression British people love to bathe. So not really sure what Freddie's complaining about there. He can be a little difficult behind the scenes sometimes, Freddie. You know, oh no, there's no hot water. Firstly, we have a kettle on the bench. I haven't seen you try to utilize that in any way, shape, or form. Maybe wait till that cools down to a non-scalding temperature. Pour that over your British head. Fire yourself up a little bit. So we've got some friction at the pad already. And yeah, the flight down, right? So the flight down. And I don't want to be that comedian guy who is always talking about airports and travel and that, but I'm Australia's greatest road dog. It's my first flight of the year. And I've spoken about this on the podcast many times before. I just have zero tolerance for people carrying on like Sydney to Brisbane or Sydney to Melbourne flights. Like the carry-on on my plane, it's like a Jetstar propeller number. It looks like they got this Jetstar plane out of a pack of Nutri-Grain in 2003. It looks like there was a chance you could either get Age of Empires or this Jetstar plane as your prize in your Nutri-Grain. That's how shit this plane was, right? And just some of the carry-on. Firstly, the chick in front of me, they start the engine. She goes into a full recline for a 55-minute flight. Let's put that to the side. I don't want to harp away on that. Obviously, we know that if you recline your seat on a flight that's less than 2 hours, there is a special place in hell for you. That's that. And honestly, I'm not sure if there is an afterlife or not. My spiritual beliefs change on a day-to-day basis, depending on my own personal fortune. But I just hope there is an afterlife. I want some sort of a punishment for these pelicans, you know? I worry that maybe one day I'll just be rotting in the ground next to some bloke who was in a full recline on a Sydney to Adelaide flight. You know what I mean? We're just both getting eaten by the same worms. Neither of us remembered. Neither of us passing into the next dimension or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like it was all for nothing. I do like to believe in some sort of karmic force out there to get these horrible, horrible people. But just the carry-on on like a one-hour flight, guy in front of me next to the chick in full recline, like travel pillow, noise-canceling headphones, iPad set up with a feature film. Again, it's a 55-minute flight. The air hostesses start the service or whatever, whatever you call it, whatever you call a food and drink service on a 45-minute flight. I get a black coffee because I'm not a freaking psychopath, dude. People are ordering like, you know the Jetstar menu? It's like, yeah, they have this food available, but it's like you shouldn't actually order it, dude. Do you know what I mean? It's like when you go, I'm struggling to think of an example here. I might just think for 2 minutes and edit out the silence. Okay, here we go. I didn't edit out any silence, but it's kind of like when you go to the cinema and they have like a pizza that you can get. Yeah, they offer it at fucking Hoyts. You can get the pizza, but everyone knows not to get it. It's shit house. People are ordering like ham and cheese toasties and like little salads, like little Caesar salads are coming out. It's like we were just in the sickest food court ever at Sydney Airport. There was a Guzman Y. Gomez. I saw one guy, dude, this is such a vibe. This was such a vibe. I saw one guy, like tradie bloke, tatted up. I was there at, what time was my flight? 9:50. So I'm there at 9 a.m. in the food court. This guy's just hoeing into the biggest Thai feed. He's got the three options with the noodles. And he's like, yeah, I'll get the satay chicken, the Mongolian lamb. I don't know if that's Thai. But just absolutely hoeing in to like $37 worth of airport Thai at 8:45 in the morning. Now, that's a guy who woke up and chose life. That's a guy who woke up and said, you know what? Tomorrow's not guaranteed. I'm not going to let a clock tell me how to operate. I'm not going to let a clock tell me when to ingest half a kilo of noodles that have been sitting here overnight in this 24-hour food court, okay? That's a man I want to be around. These people who sat there in the airport food court for 3 hours, twiddling their thumbs just to order a $17 Jetstar toasty, my poor Jetstar gals are having to like cook up toasties and shit on this propeller plane on a 37-minute flight. It's like, do you know what I mean? Can you not go 37 minutes without food? Like the whole plane ride, people are walking up and down the aisles. Like the guy next to me, his mate came up and was like chatting to him in the aisle for 15 minutes. It's like, it's a 24-minute flight. You can't sit four rows back from your friend for 24 minutes. The whole flight down, this is how quick this flight down is, right? The whole flight down, I didn't even play any music or any multimedia of any kind. I just read my own jokes for the show that night, right? Because I'm trying to desperately remember them, obviously. That's how quick the flight is. I spent the whole time reading my own jokes and it didn't even seem like a long flight. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever had to read a speech they've written before. I don't know if anyone's had to memorize a 50-minute speech, right? That's basically what it is, a stand-up comedy show. It's like, I can't stress to you how boring it is. Like, I'm reading this. Imagine, it's like reading a book you wrote. It's like, I know what happens. There's no wizards. There's no dragons. If my stand-up show was a novel, it would be one of the worst novels of all time. I'm just reading my jokes over and over and over. It's just mind-numbing how boring this is. And the flight was still quick for me. I managed to turn down a toasty. So what's your excuse, you know? But anyway, so sorry about that. Sorry about that. What else did I want to talk about? I've got... So I just wrote here, I've never seen a city so perfect for liming. As you know, guys, I've been pretty candid in the past. I do like to get vulnerable and transparent on this podcast from time to time. Since I've moved to Surry Hills, I have been struggling and dealing with a fairly serious lime bike addiction. And my God, dude, Melbourne, it's like a whole city that was just built for liming. They seem to be more keen on the scooters than the bikes here. But either way, dear God, I'm going to be liming my fucking face off over the next couple of weeks. I cannot wait. But yeah, that's all I really want to talk about. I got a few more things here. Firstly, my mural was unveiled the other day, if anyone caught that. My mural promoting my tour. Very exciting. Painted by Michael McElroy, aka Macca, aka 74-time Pelican of the Week. And you know what, dude? Congratulations, Macca. You just won number 75. I mean, these artists, dude, I tell you what, you can spell it out for them, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make these stupid cunts drink, can you? Hey? Jesus Christ. Right? Pretty simple design brief. Tour dates on the side, he left off Perth. All too often, and this is really a metaphor for the West Coast in general, this is a window into the mind of the average East Coast Australian that Macca just completely left Perth off the mural. I've texted him about a full refund. He's yet to respond. But Perth was left off the mural. Pelican of the Week, Macca. But apart from that, my God, how cool was it? Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's on my Instagram. And if you live in Sydney, Macca has his debut art exhibition. Band Society is an absolutely unbelievable artist. It's on May 24 in Sydney. Check it out at his Instagram or just look at the mural on my Instagram. He's like collaborated on the post or tagged in it or whatever. So check that out. But yeah, Pelican of the Week, Macca, you've left Perth off and I expect my refund. But yeah, dude, it was an interesting week. I was at the Comedy Store all week doing gigs. I didn't even really have a chance to work on my show because I was following this absolute fucking wrecking ball from England. I was following this lady called Maureen all week and she's like, I don't want to speculate on her age. It's probably rude, but let's say mid-50s, and she's been doing stand-up since about 1973. She was doing 7 minutes before me all week, and my God, dude, like five applause breaks per set. She would do this joke where she would be like, I was trying to have sex with this guy the other week, and he was just standing in front of the mirror, stroking himself off. And he said, sorry, Maureen, I get hard just by looking at myself in the mirror. And Maureen goes, yeah, Darren, that's because you look like a cunt. And she would throw her hands up in the air and start crowd surfing. And you know when you're just hearing laughs where you're like, Jesus Christ, are people dying? Are people like struggling for breath out there? What's happening, you know? So it was real back to the wall, up against the cage stuff from yours truly, you know? Had to hit him with some bangers, jab, jab, slip, circle out, head kick, etc. But yeah, so basically I just had quite a, I don't want to say difficult, but challenging week of gigs. And I do have some good yarns from last week, but I told them on the Rowan episode. So they'll be coming up in about 10 minutes or so. So I wasn't able to work on the show, unfortunately, which is why I was reading my beautiful jokes like a psychopath on the way down. But now they're lodged in there and the show's cranking along. But anyway, just a couple of things I'd like to talk about. Firstly, Frankie Muniz is on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Australia. Does that not blow anyone away? That's got to be the biggest celebrity we've ever had since Warnie, really. I would argue Warnie was a bigger celebrity than Frankie Muniz, regardless of country. You know, Warnie had a Nike deal with Michael Jordan. Did Frankie Muniz? I don't think so. So, what was I saying? Why is Frankie Muniz on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? You know? Isn't he worth like $80 million and he's a race car driver now? And it's like, mate, isn't the whole point of retiring from Hollywood on top that you don't have to one day do something like this? How did they afford him? Is he broke? Like, I just don't understand the context of him being on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And they just sort of chucked this up on the internet. Oh, Frankie Muniz is on, by the way. Like, it's not crazy as fuck, you know? I'm not sure. I just hope he's doing well. It's just like quite jarring. It's like Candace Warner, some Big Brother chick, and then Frankie Muniz. It's like, this is the weirdest group of people I've ever seen assembled in my life. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like Candace Warner was a cultural figure through the early 2000s. It just seems like potentially, Frankie, something's gone wrong. I don't know if he needs a few shekels. I'm happy to help out just, you know, for all the great times he's given us. Big Fat Liar, Agent Cody Banks, obviously Malcolm in the Middle goes without saying. But yeah, I worry for Frankie. He was talking about his net worth on the show. I read this in an article, I should disclose. I'm not actually watching this program. And he said he retired from Hollywood with $40 million. Now, me personally, right, if I had $40 million to get me to do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here in another country as well. So let's say I got $40 million. You want me to do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, Sweden. I'd say, no worries. You have to pay me $80 million. You know what I mean? Like, how the hell did Channel 10 afford this bloke? Or has he gambled it all away or something? That's what I'm worried about. I need some context on why Frankie is there. I think Americans just think that Australia is like not even a part of the world. And so they just can come here and just do the most embarrassing shit ever for 300K. And no one's going to ever find out. And I guess it's kind of true. Dude, if you are like a D-list celebrity who was famous 25 years ago, and you need $250,000, look no further than the country of Australia. How much do we simp out for celebrities on the downside? Celebrities on the back nine, washed up blokes, you know? Come be a judge on The Voice. We got Benji Madden and the boys. Seals in here. Who have we got? Didn't we have Harry Broderick? Is that how you say that? Harry Connick Jr.? As an Australian Idol judge, I think he's an actor. I'm not even sure, dude. We simp out for celebrities so hard here. Mel B, Stephen K. Amos is currently touring the country. Who's keen to see Stephen K. Amos do stand-up comedy in 2024? Australia, apparently. He still plays theatres here, if you can believe it. So, very bizarre scenes on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Candace Warner's on there. Yeah, look, I don't want to speak ill of Candace because I don't love the vibe of like a fucking some bloke on a solo podcast just trashing some mum, you know? It's just a little bit on the nose for me. Even though, look, if you guys want to have a beer after the show or one of these Melbourne things, I would happily have a very candid discussion about Candace Warner. But she's just everywhere, Candace. That's the thing with her is like, okay, look, I don't like Candace Warner. And I know a lot of people don't, and that's fine, okay? You don't have to like everyone. But she's just everywhere all the time. Like, I'm on Spotify yesterday, and it says, Backstage with Matty Johns, David and Candace Warner. And you just see them both, and you just go, I just wince, you know? I see them, I go, oof. I'm not vibing Candace that hard. And it's just one of those things where she's just everywhere. Like, honestly, look, if there's an Iron Woman event on, fine, let's hear about it. If there's an Iron Man event on, or if someone's doing something in a surf boat or someone's paddling somewhere, then yeah, dude, let's hear from Candace Warner. She's a former Iron Woman, and I would love to hear one of the sports greats talk about it. But as far as her being on the back page and the radio and the telly and the podcasts and the I'm a Celeb and this, like, I was reading, looking for this Frankie Muniz thing. She's in like a drag down argument with Skye Wheatley from Big Brother. It's like, babe, can you just take 10 minutes off, Candace? Can you just take 10 minutes off? And I hate the way she says David. She's like, oh my God. Did you see what the newspaper said about David yesterday? I hate it when they talk about David that way. His name's Dave, okay? His name's Dave. Or Davey, failing that. Anyway, like I said, I don't want to trash Candace Warner too much. Now, just to finish up here, Splendor in the Grass cancelled, right? Cancelled. Shocking news yesterday. Very sad. It's off the back of Falls Festival being cancelled, Groove and the Moo cancelled. Obviously, you got my ticket sales in Adelaide as well. So, you know, the entertainment industry is reeling. There's no doubt about that. And it is quite sad. I wanted to talk about this Splendor in the Grass thing. And I read a couple of articles about it today. You know, cultural shifts, consumer attitudes, cost of living, Gen Z. What do Gen Z want? How do you book a lineup that reflects their wants and needs while also staying true to the vibe of the festival? And I realized that I was a little bit above or out of my depth, I should say. I was a little bit sort of jumped in the deep end, wasn't 100% sure what I was reading and what I was going to talk about. And what was most alarming, I realized I don't know what Gen Z is. I've never understood the different generations. The last time I had a handle on which generation was which was when Sean McAuliffe was hosting Talking About Your Generation. And there were the three generations. There was Josh Thomas, young people. There was Charlie Pickering, weird 37-year-olds. And there was Amanda Keller, old cunts. Okay? And that made a lot of sense to me at the time. Everything seemed to fit in a box. They lined them up in ascending order. Sean McAuliffe would explain anything you needed help with. And ever since that show went off the air, I honestly have had no idea since. Like, what is a millennial? Because Josh Thomas was Gen Y. Is Gen Y millennial? Am I a millennial? I'm honestly not sure. So I'm going to refrain from talking about Splendor in the Grass. Maybe I might learn more about it in the coming week and have some more relevant thoughts next week, perhaps. But very sad. And the project for this week, I'll say, bit of a cop-out from me, but just go and see literally anything Australian. You know, the entertainment industry here is in shambles. The rugby league seems to be selling quite well, so maybe sports going pretty well, but go and see some live music or some live comedy. See literally anyone, as long as it's not Stephen K. Amos, okay? But see literally anything live this weekend. That's the project for this week. The segment where we celebrate Australian talent killing it here and abroad. There it is. Go see literally anything Australian. Come and see me at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I got 10 shows to go. Tickets available, so get those via the link in my Instagram bio or the show notes of this podcast. And then I'm hitting Perth, Brisbane, Adelaide, Newcastle, Wollongong, Sydney, Canberra, sort of in that order. All those tickets via the link in my Instagram bio or the show notes of this podcast. And got an episode with just me and Rowan up next, Dynamic Duo. Pretty fun there. Pretty few good yarns, which I withheld from the solo pod. So get around that. Get around me. Name in the pod. Miss ya. Want to kiss ya. Thanks for listening. All right, legends, welcome back to yet another episode of Get Around Me. Today, it's just back to the dynamic duo, yin and yang, push and pull, as it was written. The Irish Wolfhound is here, Rowan Arneil. What's doing, mate?
Not much, chilling.
Excellent, brother. You really matched my energy there. That was exciting.
Yin and yang. I like it.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah, I like that.
I stole it from Avatar The Last Airbender.
I know. Earth, fire, wind, fucking oath.
Yeah. Rowan just watched me watch the live action Avatar at our house and just become like increasingly more disgruntled.
But the fight scenes were sick. I was with you.
The fight scenes were sick.
I woke up one day so hungover that I just wanted to text you all the emojis of the signs, just fire, earth, wind, water. I need it. I need it through my veins.
I would have known what you meant, mate. I would have known. But I don't want to talk about that show anymore because I did talk about it for about 27 minutes on a solo podcast.
Did you get my zinger in about why you'd be an earthbender? Because of your incredibly flat feet.
Yeah, I can't remember if I said it on the solo podcast, but that made me giggle. It's nice to be insulted, but in a way that you don't take personally. Yeah. Which was a nice mix for me on that one. Look, it's no secret I have extremely fallen arches and I need more than I need money or what are things other people need? A dentist appointment. More than that, I need arch support.
You need arch support big time.
Desperately.
So you choose Converse.
I know, yeah. It's not the – what can you do? Dude, also, I'm sorry, but as far as like stuff ticking off on the list of like what's important, let's be honest, arches – like, I've got no arches, right? And I still get around each and every day.
Yeah, you do. Beauty over pain as well.
Oh, mate.
She's the Converse.
Exactly, yeah. So, when I stop looking like a freaking mad cunt in these Converse.
When this girl was making plinths, like covered in tiles, Pat's ex-missus.
Oh,
and as soon
as
you saw one, you just go, mate, that's dangerous. Can't have that around me. I'll fall on it. I'll fall on my face. I'll stumble into it. It's like no one else has ever seen a decorative plinth that goes in a corner and being like, I'll fucking wedge myself against it somehow.
Okay. Why have you brought that up?
It's got to do with the flat feet for
the
sure.
The flat feet. Yeah. So this is 100% true. Maybe if anyone doesn't know what a plinth is, because I didn't know before.
Tall cube, I guess.
It's like a concrete cube with tiles around it. Okay. The corners, I swear to God, you fall on this corner head first. It's the absolute end of you. And I'm not ashamed to say, my first thought was they're trendy, but I could never have one of those in my house.
Yeah. The safety ramifications for flat-footed men.
Yeah, exactly. Because sometimes, you know, my ankles roll in. I need to be able to hit the floor and roll.
Not roll in like the way gymnasts do, but roll sideways in pain.
Yeah. I just need – that would honestly – I saw those things and I can't remember Pat's girlfriend's name at the time, but I just remember thinking, mate, someone is going to die on one of these. You're selling concrete stools with jagged tile edges in the eastern suburbs. Someone's going to get all zannied out, hit their head on the side of a plinth.
Tables have corners though. You're just incredibly scared of the corners.
Something about these tiles. Mate, I'm telling you, it'll be the new king hit of the eastern suburbs. Mm.
And who better to investigate than our lovely journalist, Billy Darcy?
Well, well, well.
A few rumors going around this country. Billy Darcy's a pretty hard-hitting journalist. Four corners hack. Where will he be next?
The thing is, I'm not the one saying that I am a journalist, but the problem is it's like my body of work is just getting...
out of control.
It's getting out of control. I'm just wondering how many more times... So I've been on hack four times now, I think, right? Already journalist rumors, right? They had Kevin Rudd getting admonished by Donald Trump. Obviously, worldwide diplomacy, one of the biggest stories of the week. Who do you call?
Billy Darcy, obviously.
Literally got the call on the Thursday. So I think they had someone else booked and then they thought, I don't know if this guest could potentially tackle a political story of this sort of girth.
Of course not. Compared to you, who could? That's an important thing to note.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, look, mate, I don't know. I'm going with the flow, but fuck, I'm starting to listen to what I'm saying, to be honest.
Does it feel exciting that the five years you took doing a media degree are starting to pay off in little hack segments?
I guess so. I mean, from a financial standpoint, my hex debt does appear to remain the same. But I guess it does sort of justify the piece of paper in my mum's study to a certain extent.
Nice.
But yeah, it's good, mate. You know, it's every comedian's dream to have something other than comedian under their name on a television or radio program. The grass is always greener. I would love to be presenter/journalist. Dude.
What sort of journalist? ABC hard-hitting? BBC maybe? Head of the BBC perhaps?
Well, the problem is, mate, I've got a taste for the hard stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Which is odd because socially... I don't know, I live with you, I see you as a bit more of a news.com, check out this nip slip sort of journalist. That's the sort of Billy Darcy that I'm used to.
Well, as someone who is up to date with the different outfits Kanye West's girlfriend has been wearing, I can understand why you say that.
I think you know that we're both pretty up to date.
Dude, those news.com.au, what do you call them? Thumbnails? JPEGs?
They're dangerous, Billy. I view them as very dangerous. Other areas of the internet aren't like that. And it's unsafe that you can look at news.com in a workplace and it seem normal. But, mate, it's fucking nuts out there.
Yeah, and they know what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing. They know Rowan is going to kind of lazily look for things that might be funny for his comedy podcast. And then 3.5 minutes into news.com is going to open up an incognito browser. Just like, fuck. God damn it.
Sydney Sweeney blows crowd away with new low-cut dress. You go, like,
how's this news?
Here's the thing, dude. Either I can sit around here for 5 minutes not clicking on it just to eventually click, or we can just cut the shit and I'll click on it.
Mate, I didn't click on this one. And I'm proud of it. I kind of was like, no, I'm looking at news, and then kind of also went to a bit of a horny one. But that one of the news articles was just of a woman getting caught upskirting. And I was like, dude, this is fucked up.
It's crazy. Everything's so horny out there.
So horny.
But what I don't understand is, like, how come everything's still so horny even though porn's just becoming more and more available? You would think more porn, everyone could just keep it behind closed doors, and then the news could just be the news.
Yeah.
But people are watching all this porn and coming out, and they still want their news to be horny.
Yeah, well, we all fall to it, unfortunately. We don't want most people that fall to the Sydney Sweeney new beach look article, which, how is that an article? Most of us regret it, mate. Most of us aren't there for that.
Yeah, I don't know. What can you do?
Just Kyle and Jackie O. They're at the heart of this as well. They showed the media world how horny everyone was secretly.
Yeah, I saw one of these little story tile things on news.com.au. It said, Jackie O details what she did with boyfriend in Coogee Pool, and then in quotes, I'm just such a giver.
Oh.
And it's like, now, to be fair to me, I did not read the article.
That's cool.
Out of respect to one of Australia's greatest broadcasting queens, okay? If Jackie O's talking about blowing her boyfriend at 7:30 in the morning, I'm not listening out of respect for her body of work.
Yeah, which is also mainly about blowing.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, has Jackie O been on Hack?
That's definitely not.
Who are some other journalists? Karl Stefanovic. He's never been on Hack.
Yeah, but I think he's a bit more. Both these people are significantly richer than you.
Mm.
But lots of good journalists have been on Hack, probably.
100%. I was on with the editor of the Daily Oz.
And you love the Daily Oz.
I love the Daily Oz. I was like meeting a celeb. And she was like doing the quiz when we're hanging out in the, whatever you call it, lobby or whatever, the couch. Mm. It was Emma Gillespie, the editor of the Daily Oz. And she was like writing the quiz for the next day. And I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm writing the Daily Oz quiz. And I was like, I just have to let you know, I love the Daily Oz. And then I was like, okay, I got it out. You know, because I was like, I don't know. Like, it's weird to say I'm a fan of like your news site or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the only reason you're a fan of this news site is because so many of them are so shit that they just make you angry.
Yeah, well, this news site is great. It's just if anyone is looking for news, it's for people who like aren't into the news but want to be.
Yeah.
Right? And it's very hard to get into the news because Channel 9 news is like a lot of car crashes.
Mm.
And, you know.
Channel 9, me and Mark used to watch it as like a Michael Bay film. it's something that it's every time it's shit that could not really help society, us knowing about this. It's like, boats on fire in the Central Coast. A single boat has caught on fire. Or it'll be like, car crash 8 hours away from where you live.
Dude, that's so true.
And then it's just like all this shit that every like 9-year-old woman tells you is like, did you see that? And you're like, what? How is this a public service?
I know.
It's just fire, fire, yeah. Fire.
Semi-trailer overturned on the M4. No one harmed.
Indian man does something wrong. They'll hit you with that as well. Dodgy landlord. And you're like, I wonder what racist man will be.
Yeah, God. But I don't know. It's hard to get into the news, but the Daily Oz is great. Also, because it's just words.
Mm.
So much better without all the, you know, someone in a power suit talking scarily.
Mm.
Talk normally.
Yeah.
I'm listening normally. You should talk normally. And anyway, so I was on Hack. Is this the end of this? What was I saying? The Daily Oz. Oh, so the big drama at the Daily Oz.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is something... You're not a Daily Oz man, are you?
I have become because of you.
There it is.
And also because they published, as you know, a warning about incredibly strong ecstasy that about 10 people sent to me.
Yeah, that was hilarious, actually. I'm reading the Daily Oz in our living room, and it says, watch out for these, like, Skullbuster 3000s or whatever the fuck they're called. They're called, like, Walking Death or something. And it's like, even one of these could kill, like, a fully grown man. And I'm like, yeah, we had a bag of 30 of these on the coffee table last week. I go, well, Ron and the boys said they were a bit of fun, so I can't believe the media every week.
It was a box. It was a box.
It was a box.
Everyone also from that box was so stoked. They were like, mate, they're not even warning of bad chemicals in it. They're just saying, guys, there is so much MDMA in these. It wasn't even like rat poison.
It's a badge of honor for the lads.
Yeah, it is nice. It was a nice nod.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Resume builder. Do you know what it is, though? It's one of those things, I reckon, because I think you told me they were double strength anyway. But if you gave me a fucking Skullbuster 3000, you said, watch out, Bill. There's been warnings all over the country. These things are fucking as strong as it gets, okay? Blokes are losing their minds on these. I would be shitting myself. But it's great that you didn't know these were like the death pills, you know? They're like 11 still in hospital. Like, so you get the credit without the bravery.
Yeah, no bravery. Just like, wow, these are fucking strong. Oh, wow. Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's
sick. Bang for buck.
But the Daily Oz thing, so what happened is they changed. Have you ever had this where, like, they change something so basic about something you like and it just makes your blood go the other way?
Yeah, big time.
So basically, the Daily Oz is just like tiles of news, just words. So there's no videos.
Yeah.
Like, shout out to the Daily Oz with the greatest respect. When there is a video... No. We don't play that game. Give me the tiles. Spoon feed me.
With the purple and the white?
Yep. Bright colors.
Yep.
Two sentences per tile. You know? Open wide. Here comes the rocket ship.
Yep.
That's how I like to ingest my news. Like a toddler eating spaghetti oops. Anyway, so after like 4 years or whatever, like 4 years of the whole company's existence, they changed the font out of nowhere. And dude... it was absolute hell. It was like someone went into your house. I was saying this to Emma, the editor, because I was like, oh, I bet you're sick of hearing about this. But the font drama was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And she's like, oh, the fucking font drama. And so it was like everything in your house was like a meter to the left. I don't know if I said that, but that's how it feels. It's just jarring. You just wake up one day and you go, the Daily Oz, part of my daily routine. And then it's just like, it's like in italics now or something. Mm. It's some new font. And she said they hired like some Ubud graphic design marketing company as well. This, mate, no one fucking knows.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah, no one knows. But anyway, it was so funny because the comments just became so unhinged. And it would be like this, like, you know, sort of horrific news you were talking about where it's like, you know, Coffs Harbour family beheaded in backyard. And all the comments would just be like, honestly, feel sorry for the family, but this font is making me physically ill. So they had to turn the comments off because there was just no empathy for the stories. And then it went on for like 6 weeks.
Fuck.
And then they changed the font back just to like, because they were starting a newsletter just to get everyone's attention.
Mm.
And it's been like, the font's changed back just for this. Now we have your attention. Sign up to the newsletter.
Mm. And is the font continued since?
So what they've done is that it's the old font on the front square. And then as you slide across, it's the old font.
Oh. The new font, you mean?
Sorry, the new font.
Fuck. Who would have thought that people cared? But I would as well. When anything in your normal sort of routine is disrupted in that way.
Have you ever had anything similar to this? I'm just trying to think now.
My only one this recently is that our local 7-Eleven stopped selling kombucha in a glass bottle and started selling it in the can. And I like the bottle and I like to go on a little walk and it feels like I'm drinking a beer. That's why I fucking like it.
Yeah. And maybe other people might think you're drinking a beer as well.
Well, that would be cool.
And then they're thinking, this is one of the realest blokes alive.
Exactly. So yep. It's just a little bit of placebo. I love my kombucha, go to the park with my glass bottle, and then it's just this can, and I was furious. And it also makes me furious because I was like, damn, this is too big a part of my life. There's a bit of that as well.
And then do you ever spiral because you're like, I shouldn't care about this?
Well, yeah, that was most of it. Most of it was like, you're a fucking baby, brother. And then you're like, fuck. I'm like drinking out of this can, being like, it's not the fucking same.
Yeah.
I might just go buy a beer. Might just pop down.
Yeah. Now we're having a long neck in the park.
I need the glass, mate. I need the glass.
Dude, sometimes I'll be spiraling out about some stupid problem and thinking like, this isn't even a real problem. And then like 5 minutes later, I'll just think to myself, well, you know what? These are the only ones I've fucking got right now. I can only fucking bitch about what I've got to bitch about. Like, you know, you walk past some poor bloke with one arm and you go, look, that's bad too. That's bad too.
He would feel bad for my situation right now. Yeah, we can all get stressed.
If I showed him these sales in Adelaide, he would freak out as well. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, that happened with me at work recently where I was like just being sooky ass. I was like, why the fuck do I have to fucking work for a living? How dare I? How have I not monetized something that I'm better at than this? Which for sure I'm a better comedian than Stonemason. I'm fucking average as at that. And then I look over at Paulie, who's like 63, just holding a stone, just like so frail with the liter of milk he buys every day. And I was like, well, Paulie's still on the tools, so probably can't really complain. Shit. When there's just a man that should have retired holding an enormous stone shaking and you're like, oh, yeah, all good. All good on that front.
No wonder he's drinking so much milk. He's just trying to shore up the structure, you know, just going, hold bones, hold.
Muesli bars and milk every day. Let's go.
Dude, a liter of milk a day is just so fuck good. You energy.
It is great. I've never seen him take a sip of water. And honestly, it's gone at the start, I was like, God, Paulie needs it. He looks parched, mate. He needs a drink of water. And now if he had a drink of water, I'd be fucking disappointed in him. I'd be like, nah, you stay in your lane now.
It might be one of those things where he might get sick now as well.
Yeah, a bit of the warning thing.
His body might reject it.
Yeah. You want to stay on the same road. He called the radio recently.
What, Paulie called the radio?
Oh, he's always calling the radio. He's always calling 2GB or some whatever. And the radio played Cat Stevens. And then he was like, I could just hear him. I didn't know at the time what he was talking about it. And he's like, mate, I used to love Cat Stevens. Why are you playing Cat Stevens now that he put after he put a fat wire on that fat bloke? Who's that fat bloke? Salman Rushdie, that's it. Who's like he's like a writer and professor that talked about Islam a bunch that got a fat wire put on him.
What's a fat wire? Like, I didn't understand literally a word of what you just said.
It's like
a fatwa on Shaldi Rushton?
What? Salman Rushdie.
Salman Rushdie.
Yeah.
So what is a fatwa?
I guess it's like a kind of like...
It's like a Muslim curse?
Yeah, basically it's a Muslim curse.
Yeah.
But like a curse where you're like, boys, sort this out. It's a bit of that sort of curse.
When you say, so it's like, hey, we want to fucking attack this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of an attack
curse. A lot of media people get fatwas put on them actually.
Really?
Yeah. That will soon be your life, mate. If you got a fatwa, I would be so fucking excited.
Why is my life going to be...
You're a hard-hitting journalist, mate. It comes for you all.
Yeah, but I'm with the ABC, mate. I'm a lefty.
I'm pretty sure a couple of ABC guys have had fatwas on them.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot his name. He's like used to make documentaries, but he got a fatwa put on him.
So, well, speaking of, mate, here's the thing, is currently I'm at the ABC.
Yeah.
But my allegiance is to the truth first and foremost. Right? Let's say Sky News picks up the phone. All I'll say is that currently I could be very much – my ideology is up for grabs right now.
Mm.
In my tax bracket, you can't be too staunch on principle.
Oh, yeah. And just you behind a desk and you going after young people maybe – because they can't get the young ones, they can't get likable young ones involved. All the people that would come through their pipeline as a young Sky News head would just be monsters.
Oh, they're freaks, dude.
They're freaks.
Like young liberal AI blokes.
Yeah. So you,
I could be like the Milo Yiannopoulos, but instead of gay, I'm likable. It's like, I just don't get why he's saying these things. He seems so chill.
You don't deserve to own a home, and then just taking the lapel mic off and be like, oh, well, nice day.
Yes.
Anyone after some beers?
Yes, I could be the guy where it's like, but he doesn't have a home either. And then they're like, yeah, and he's still saying it. Wow. Wow,
yeah. He thinks he should work harder.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't eaten avocado in 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, that's funny.
Oh, my family would be pissed, though. Would your family be a little pissed if you start running the Darcy name on Sky News? Or they'd just be happy for the...
They'd be happy for the gig.
Yeah.
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 I think if I start chipping in for birthday dinners, they'd be pretty pumped about that. So, you know, Dad, why don't we split this? You know, I reckon, yeah, Dad, yeah, I think that'd vibe well. But yeah, here's the thing, mate. These are decisions I have to make now.
Yeah.
Right?
Obviously. Anyway,
how embarrassing would it be to go to Sky News? And it's like, you hear Bill went to Sky News on a deal. It's like, what'd you get? $8,000. Just sell out for like such little. It's like he gets $300 an appearance. Yeah. And I'm like, and another thing about the youth. Yeah. Too much fucking talking.
Everyone's like going at you and I'm just in the background being like, and he gets a catered lunch. He gets a catered lunch. Come on.
You just know I'd have sandwiches in the breast pocket of the blazer. Yeah. There's Caesar salad coming out of my rental suit as I'm admonishing the youth of today.
A little pocket square that's ham.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'd sell out for such a low amount of money. It's
crazy.
Well,
that's the thing.
Because I would betray everyone I know.
I'd do literally anything. Oh.
Mate, you just – all you got to do if you sell out real hard, you just got to find someone you love and just be like, you're all that matters. Now I'm going to fucking burn everything else.
Mm.
That helps guys for sure.
Massively. Dude, when like – professional athletes, or you, I'm basing this mostly on UFC fighters, just because I know them more intimately than some of the breadsticks that play for Australia in cricket. You don't get to really see behind the curtain with those lads as much. For whatever reason, dude, I'm not sure about this. For whatever reason, white guys with neck tattoos from Kansas City, whose parents were meth heads, seem to be a lot more candid in the media than private school cricket prodigies from Bondi. Anyway,
chuck in a few concussions and they'll go.
Sprinkle some CTE on top and we can find out who they really are. But what was I saying? Oh, mate, when a UFC fighter says, all I care about is my family and training, bet the house. Bet the absolute house. When you have a 32-year-old guy who goes, every day I go to the gym, I come home, I spend time with my daughter and my wife. The next day I get up, I do it again. That's all I care about. And he's against like a 26-year-old who's like, yeah, I'm just loving this opportunity. It's like, this is not the same fight.
Really happy with my trainers, cool opportunity.
The vibe around camp was insane. Yeah, dude, when you get dialed in like that, that'll be so sick.
Yeah, you want to get dialed in.
Dude, me, my girl... My comedy.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
And the refugees on the other side.
And Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you don't quite know what you're in for, mate.
No. No, I do not. But anyway, mate, what else has been happening? We're on fucking fire today, brother.
Yeah, how are we looking?
We're about 25 minutes in.
Nice.
Flying. Let's not get too cocky.
Yeah.
This is... traditionally where we have fumbled before, but
honestly, as long as we're having fun and we don't have to look at another guest and kind of interpret what they're doing, then we're good to go.
Yeah. Let's not blame the guests.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's torch everyone who's been kind enough to do the podcast. Mate, I'll run this past you. So I had a pretty sick week, as you know, because we live together, but right. So I'm walking to the Comedy Store on Thursday and I'm walking past the Horton Pavilion and it's like, 5,000 like sort of goth chicks, sort of pink goth chicks, I guess. Do you ever try to pick who's going to a concert?
I love that.
Oh, it's the funnest.
I was at the Enmore the other day and just saw all these like men just like, they were just like the scariest looking metalheads I've ever seen.
Yeah. Sorry, to clarify, pick who the artist is by the crowd.
Yeah, I tried to.
Yeah.
But I was wise enough to be like, I don't think I'm going to know this artist. And then I got to the top banner and was like, Yep, it's a scary metal name that I don't recognize.
Yeah.
That's as close as I got.
Well, metal's an easy one, I think. But so there's all these sort of, I wanted to say some of them were sort of gothy, but then maybe not. It's like 99% women. Some of them wearing pink and some of them wearing black. So I don't understand the mix there. But it's Maisie Peters, right? This UK sort of singer. I'm not sure how you'd describe her genre. But anyway, so whatever. Walk past that. Go to the store. Come out. Blaze one. And this is like 9 o'clock. And I'm blazing one across the road from the Horden. And I'm looking at it. And I've noticed there's still people going in. And I'm like, oh, I bet Maisie Peters isn't on yet. Because I love Maisie Peters.
Fuck, that's a vibe.
Yeah. And I go, I wonder if you can buy Tixl tickets after the show has started. Because it started at 7. And I go on Tixl, right? This is, by the way, shout out to Tixl.
So good.
Tixl, I would trust my fucking life with Tixl.
Also, after the Camp Cope concert.
100%. Mate, if there's a sold-out gig that you want to go to, get on Tixl in the 48 hours prior, and tickets are flying all over town.
So good.
They're begging you to buy these tickets on Tixl. So I get on there, and it's like 2 hours after the show start time of 7 o'clock, and there's so many tickets for sale, sold out at the Horden Pavilion. And there's so many tickets. I get an $85 ticket for $35. And I was thinking, even if this doesn't work on the door, Tixl will refund me.
Yeah.
I know Tixl will have my back. I love Tixl. So bang, $35 ticket. I go, sweet, Melissa's selling it or whatever. Guess she had probably a year 9 school camp or something because it was like an all-age girls concert. So unfortunately, the netball tournament mixed up with it. But bang, buy that, Apple Pay, double click. I walk across the road, ding, I'm in the Horden. 5,000 people sold out.
So good.
So blazed as well. I get 2 beers and I'm just like, this is sick.
That is fresh.
Now I'm just in this sold out, like it's pretty much an arena, the Horden.
It's massive.
And I was early as well. That was the funniest thing. She didn't come out for like another 20 minutes.
Oh, that's the first place I saw live music, like a proper concert.
Me too.
Oh, really? What was it?
I saw Bliss at Esso.
Me too.
Hey! It's almost like we had similar childhoods.
Yeah, yin and yang, baby.
Push and pull. But, dude. Oh, yeah. So then I'm just in this concert, right? Got two, you know how they have the weird beers at events that you've never heard of? It's like a James Squires Pale Ale, but it's one standard drink.
Mate,
like, where did you even find this beer?
The regulation in this country needs to stop.
I mean, to be fair, right? Okay. Music festivals, when it's like a, midday through to 1 a.m.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a narc, but I can understand the thinking behind, these Jim Beam and Cokes that are 0.9 and everything being one standard.
Mm-hmm.
A concert that goes from 7 to 10.
And also, let's shop for the concert. Sure, if this is like, mate, I don't want to besmirch the good world of Australian rap, but if this perhaps, I don't want to do it, but if this is a cursor concert.
Okay.
Maybe the standards can stop at 1, but Maisie Peters.
Maisie Peters?
Are these chicks going to be taken off their heels and fighting each other?
I don't think so.
This is about love. Which is what Curse is about as well.
Of course.
Of course. Love, friendship, brotherhood, unity.
And those who get in between the above.
Yeah, the ops.
The ops.
But there are no ops at a Maisie Peters concert.
Dude, that is so true as well. I think, can we have the menu designed for the artist as well?
For sure.
Because, mate, look, I'm in there. So I walk into this Maisie Peters concert. And that's the other thing is I don't really know what I'm walking into.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've walked into a fucking cult is what I've walked into. It's like literally 99% women, all in like decked out in like Good Witch merch. Everyone's like buzzing about. There's no line at the bar. There's no line in the men's bathrooms. It was so sick. But there's like pale ale, stone and wood, rum and coke. It's like, do you want to make a loss? Like,
yeah.
Get some double blacks on for the gals.
Yeah.
Get some Prosecco in a can.
A seltzer in a can.
Seltzer in a can. My girls are parched.
Yeah, I bet.
My girls are parched, dude.
They're crying nonstop.
And anyway, so then the lights go down. Like, I don't know if it was because I wasn't supposed to go to this concert, but I was blown away by it. Like, every bit of the lights or, the set design and stuff, I was like, oh, this is sick. This is like a proper show. It was like an arena-style show. She had a huge set on stage, and then the lights went down before she came out, and this like guy's voice comes over the thing, and it says, everyone rise for the Australian National Anthem. And I'm like, what the bloody hell is this? This could be anything, And then it just goes, da-na-na-na-na. And it's like, Untouched by the Veronicas just starts blasting. Whole place just starts jumping. It was so sick.
So smart as
well. She played half of Untouched by the Veronicas. The whole place is like going nuts. And then she came out halfway through it.
Damn.
Bam. And she had a full band. It was so sick. And like I was saying, it was like a cult.
Yeah.
Like she was like, some of you might know this next one. And, you know, start the song. And the girls next to me are like literally like shaking, being revived on the ground. And like they're doing the thing. Have you ever seen this? I think this is what like people do at Taylor Swift concerts, where their friends, they're, like a lot of people were filming the concert, but more of the girls were filming like each other singing.
Yeah, yeah.
They're sort of filming like music videos.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of that. Mm. I think because of like TikToks.
The thought of your stoned face being in the background of some of these all ages TikToks.
Crazy.
just a blazed comedian.
Dude, so it's like 15 to 22 year old girl. Oh, there's like some 40 year old women there. There's just women of all ages, but starting at 15. And then in amongst it was me, so blazed, pale ale in each hand, with my Fox Footy rain jacket tied around my waist. just going, fuck yeah. Just being like, I know what this looks like, but I've paid. I've paid, ladies. I will show my ticket to any of you. And it was so funny. It was so funny to be a part of something that it's so obviously not for you.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, Maisie Peters, dude, honestly, if we could run the stage half as well as this chick runs the stage, we'd be the best comedians in Australia.
Damn.
Absolute 2 feet down. Like, in between, like the way she just gets these chicks riled up, it was fucking so funny, but also so on point.
Mm.
She'd be like, all right, who here has an ex-boyfriend? They fucking hate.
Oh. Yeah.
And then she'd be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what's your name? And this chick would be like, Hannah. And she'd be like, Hannah, what's your ex-boyfriend's name? Oliver. And then Maisie Peters will be like, this one goes out to Oliver because he's a fucking idiot. Woo! And then it's like, you know, into like she's just headbanging on the guitar. Oh, it was so sick. And also so many different – I say I can't describe the genre because it was like six concerts in one.
Mm.
Like first song, full band, full lights, electric guitar, lead vocals from her. And then next song, acoustic guitar, just her, spotlight. Next song, pop banger. Like, it was just all over the gaff.
That's sick.
Oh, my God.
Anything out of nowhere when you weren't expecting to go?
That's the thing. I'm in there with zero expectations, having the time of my life.
That's sick. Also, back going to concerts by yourself. I've also, due to a slightly odd music taste, I've dragged some people to stuff. And then them not enjoying it that much just bums me out. I'm like, what? This is not just fucking, they're ruining it for me.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault.
Well, it's not their fault.
It's not their fault at all.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing.
Like, who did you find to go to the Catfish and the Bottleman? the time you,
well, yeah,
you
I went
blacked
with
out and watched, lost your merch.
Yeah, well, that was at the Horden as well. That's one of my biggest regrets in my life, that I got too fucked up for Catfish and the Bottleman. I don't even remember a lot of the concert and I lost my merch. But yeah, I went with the lads and they sort of liked them.
Mm.
But I went, I basically went to Groovin' in the Moo by myself because I went with my mate Jared, just me and him, and he fucking ditched me. So I saw Billie Eilish by myself in like 2016 or something, technically.
Who did he ditch you for?
Ah, some chick.
Oh, really?
But here's the thing. He's from Newcastle. I'm not. And I was staying at his mum's house.
Fuck.
And I'd never met his mum before. So come on.
So did you stay at the house?
No, I met him at some fucking random house in Merriweather a bit. It was horrible.
So you never even reconvened before the end of the festival?
No, he left. He left the festival. He left the festival.
To root.
Oh, I mean, that was heavily implied.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell. That is brutal.
So then now, also, it's not like I'm at this park in the middle of Newcastle. I've just got to go find him around the corner at some house. I was in Maitland.
You're in Maitland.
I had to get the bus all the way back to Newcastle by myself. Then I walked like 40 minutes to this house.
Oh.
Because, I don't know, I couldn't get an Uber because it was still in some weird spot.
Fucking hell.
And you know what? I still enjoyed that festival.
Yeah, but you would have enjoyed it a lot more if you went in with like, I'm going to be alone rather than I'm going to be there with my friend. Oh, no, I'm alone.
Well, that's the thing, because there was – see, I went into Maisie Peters with no expectations, whereas I went into Groove of the Moon with the expectation was that I would be with a friend. Mm. And then so when I wasn't with a friend, that was below what I thought was already a pretty low bar. Yeah. But it snuck under. But, yeah, dude, and then I got line biked home. What a time.
That's a nice night.
And then Imogen was like, what have you been up to? I was like, I just went to Maisie Peters. Oh, my God. It was so good. And Imogen, it turns out, loves Maisie Peters. And she was like, fuck off, you went to Maisie Peters.
Oh, that's nice.
I thought it was sold out. I was like, you got to get on Tixl. Oh. Tixl. Like, I'm literally, anyone who will listen, I will say Tixl will change your life.
Well, I'm so bad at knowing when people I like are in town. I find out like 3 months later.
Well, mate, me too as well. Literally the next night I walk to the Comedy Store, Lainey Wilson, one of my favorite country singers, is playing. Says sold out. I go, sold out? I didn't even know it was fucking on. You know? That was the funniest thing as well. There were all these cowboys coming out of the car park across from the Horden. The Comedy Store's across the road from the Horden Pavilion. And I thought they were Sydney Roosters supporters.
Oh, really?
I thought they were like Bush Rugby League fans. So I didn't know what was going on, you know?
Man. I was at the Comedy Store when I love to see this. I was walking to the Comedy Store from ours, and I just start seeing a bunch of blokes set up with Paul McCartney t-shirts on the grass. Paul McCartney was playing the Horden.
Really?
And they'd got on the merch train and just off-brand merch, Paul McCartney, just on the grass.
That's you. That's how you know you're big. When someone's doing knockoff Rowan Arneal merch.
Oh, I would encourage it. Capitalism's capitalism, mate.
I wouldn't. Cut me in, brother.
Nah.
Give me a dip.
You're a beetle, mate. That guy came here in a fucking sedan. He's got to sell the Paul McCartney merch.
Does he? I mean, Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney is so big.
Yeah.
He might be a bad example.
I kind of support everywhere being like China, where it's like, make your own Mickey Mouse. It's all good. They got no copyright laws.
Is that the thing in China?
Yeah, they're very – all of Asia is so loose with copyright laws.
Interesting.
Mate, I'll start up a little Billy Darcy shirt company in Vietnam.
I mean, I know a few comedians who are already doing some pretty dodgy stuff with their merch. I know a few comedians who, if a current affair came knocking and said, where were these t-shirts, mate? They would be running over the back fence of their backyard.
Yeah, some very left-wing comedians don't mind a little bit of – slave labor in certain parts of the world.
Capitalist when it suits them. Socialist on Instagram. But, you know, fuck, that's funny. I tell you what, speaking of capitalism, dude, I got to stop. Well, I don't know. This is a loose segue. But talking about like the Daily Oz and news and stuff, something I'm banning myself from going forward is news related to AI and like the future of like no one having a job. And how like they're like 3 years from AI having sex with your girlfriend in front of you. And I'm like, fuck, this is just doing me no good.
Yeah.
I'm scared of AI. I'm scared of technology. I'm scared of the future. I'm scared of all of the above. This is just doing nothing for me. Just let me know. Do you know what AI? Oh, 3 years, 4 years. Let me know when it's fucking here.
Yeah.
Okay. Next AI post, I just want it to be, it's here.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Stop drip feeding me this fear. You know, you're going to be drinking through a fucking tube in 2 years, Bill. Like, you know what I mean?
You think AI is going to be able to attend car parks as well as you do?
Well, ironically, I'm one of the more safe people when it comes to AI because I work menial labor jobs and do stand-up comedy at night. Two things that AI probably couldn't be fucked to attempt.
Yeah, it's revealed my selfishness, that's for sure. Because I found out, I just go, stone stand-up, I'm out, I'm all good.
Yeah.
Not thinking about it.
Dude, I read that two jobs that are going to be more valuable as a result of AI are bike messenger and the arts.
Oh,
and
nice.
I thought, dude, I'll fucking do both of those.
Yeah, you'd be a great bike messenger.
Dude, and I love suits.
Nice. So you love suits, so you just get to see men in suits?
No, because Mike from Suits starts out as a bike messenger.
Oh, really?
That's the thing, brother. I start as a bike messenger. Who knows where I go?
And then you're in the mail room.
Because, mate, you get me into some of these buildings with some of these, you know, powerful people, and I build a rapport. As you know how I build a rapport, brother. Day one, it's here's your mail. But 2 weeks down the track, they're inviting me out for beers.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah. I could see you being a high-profile lawyer very quickly.
100%.
In that world, yeah.
So it's not that AI is going to affect me personally necessarily, but let's just drop the fear-mongering with the AI.
Yeah.
And it's like AI is going to take everyone's jobs and all this. And it's like AI is not going to take anyone's job. They personify this AI. Like AI has got a personal agenda.
They do
like
love AI doing
is
that.
Coming to get you. The only people taking everyone's jobs is the fucking billionaire pigs at the top of these corporations. Mate, they're going to put AI into the jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the billionaires. And you know what? If a magpie could do the same thing for 3 cents less, they'd have fucking magpies supervising the self-serves at Woolies.
Yeah, they do like the AI being personified.
Yeah,
like-
they act like the AI wakes up in the morning and goes, oh, I can't wait to displace Rowan Arneal.
Puts on his speed dealers and gets in a Mustang. He's like, I'm going to get this guy out of town.
There's just traffic on the roads because there's just so many AI and Mustangs just going, I can't, oh, it's our time now, baby. The AI is just a the billionaires are going to put it in.
Mm.
Dude, I fucking hate billionaires, eh?
Yeah, I can get pretty G'd up.
I am so off them.
Yeah. I think they're pretty rude, if you ask me.
I don't know. Every time I step in the ABC building, I just go, I hate them.
I hate them.
I hate them. Just and we're going to have trillionaires in our lifetime. You cannot tell me that trillionaires should not be shot on the spot.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't like them at all. But I prefer the billionaires in the old school sense where they're kind of sinister style men that don't want their faces to be shown in photographs sort of thing, like secret billionaires, like kind of mysterious Saudi men, old French money that like you don't know where it comes from, the Rothschilds. I'm not about these billionaires that are like, hey, I'm a billionaire and I'm also fucking cool and I'm going to smoke weed on Rogan and I work out all the time and I'm going to – they're just using their money in these like really nerdy ways. I'm sorry. Go to space is fucking for nerds.
Dude.
I'm not into it at all.
Going underwater.
It's all nerd shit. It's unbelievable nerd shit.
Dude, the coolest blokes I know are all on land.
They, mate, land big time. Land big time. They have – they're like – Even being a pilot, nerd, I'm sorry. Mate, the army is on foot.
Yeah, this whole new thing where it's like I'm a billionaire slash celeb.
I'm not into it at all.
Dude, what about Jeff Bezos getting jacked and doing photo shoots? Have you seen this?
So lame. You're a nerd, mate.
And also, Jeff Bezos, you're like a 100 billionaire or whatever. Why are you getting married? You're getting hardcore done, brother. And it's your second marriage. You're like, that's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
Dude, you like a year with this chick and you had her convince you need to get married. Of course she wants to marry you, Jeff. You're a 100 billionaire.
Yeah.
A clown.
His wife donated heaps of the divorce proceedings to homeless shit. Good on her. It also just makes him look like a dud as well. You'd be like, oh, look what I'm doing. Oh,
yeah. No big deal. Okay, we're circling around something here, but it could get pretty graphic if we start talking about it. I just want to see how much time we've done. All right. We've done like 45 minutes.
Nice.
One of our best efforts. We'll finish on this. And here's the thing. I've already talked about this before, but this is essentially what we're talking about. Shit like with the billionaires trying to be celebrities and trying to be cool and enjoying the public eye. Zuckerberg walking out Alexander Volkanovsky.
Oh, I hated that so much. Mate, he's from bloody Windang. What's going on?
He's from Windang. Like, and it's like you're only getting to do this because you're a billionaire.
Mm.
It's like the rules don't apply to you now because of the amount of money you have.
He's such a fucking annoying cunt as well.
And Volk was like, oh, dude, he's so annoying. Dude, Zuckerberg's evil. Stealing everyone's data, manipulating political events. The guy's a fucking freak.
He's buying up like so much of Kauai, the sickest island in Hawaii, and the locals can't get to it now, just so he can fucking Inarashi paddleboard.
Yeah, have like private surf lessons.
Fuck off.
And it's like, yeah, I'm good friends with Alex Volkanovsky. It's like, are you, brother? I wonder why he likes hanging out with you. Fucking idiot. And okay, Volk was like, whatever, he's my friend. I wanted him to walk out with me. Put that to the side. Firstly, Alexander Volkanovsky, crap take.
Yeah, crap take.
But whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's put that to the side. How can you make $100 billion and not have the self-awareness to go, that's like me saying, oh, Rowan, can I come watch your comedy show, mate? But I want to walk you out and introduce you on stage. Or like, I want to stand on the stage with you while you do it so I can have a better view. And keep in mind, Zuckerberg was already sitting cage side during the fight.
Yeah.
So you can't physically get close. The only thing you could do is be in the corner of the fight. And it's like, that's how greedy you are, that your nose was already touching the cage from your seat and it wasn't enough. And how could you not have the self-awareness to go, hey, this guy's about to fight for the featherweight championship of the world against one of the most dangerous punchers on the planet. Maybe he's got things to focus on. Maybe he doesn't need a freaking an autistic guy vibrating over his right shoulder, jumping up and down in a tracksuit that clearly just came out of a packet. Do you know what I mean?
And he looked so awkward as it well. Was,
he's standing in front of Volk's actual coaches. His wrestling coach is like behind Zuck trying to get a word in. And it's like, how could you be control the world and have so much success and not have the self-awareness to say, Alex, mate, I appreciate the offer and I'm going to be there to support you, brother, but I don't want to get in your space during one of these massive moments. I'll talk to you after.
Well, they don't have that. And also, the point we've made before, I think off mic, we were talking about how easy success is when you're just like, I'm a cunt. I'm just going to do cunt things.
Yeah.
They're just cunts.
They're absolute cunts, dude.
Like, mate, if you were Dana White and were like, I'm a cunt, it sure as hell makes business a lot easier.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, if you like don't have empathy for others. Holy shit, dude.
Miles ahead. We're in the big studio if we don't have empathy for others.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And also, I also don't like Zuck being into jiu-jitsu. Rich blokes getting into jiu-jitsu in their 30s.
Yeah, and you just know he's one of these guys. I tried to write a joke about this. It did not make the show, so keep that in mind. But it's like I got this joke about like hobbies or whatever, and it's like everyone, blokes in their 30s immediately get into jiu-jitsu. And you know what? I'll give it a crack when one of them can take a lesson without it becoming their whole personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like guys just fucking, they get too into jiu-jitsu. It's like Bitcoin or something. It just takes them.
Yeah, you can be lost to jiu-jitsu. You can be lost to a running club. Both on paper, excellent things. As an adult male, any healthy habit you can form, hang on to it with dear fucking life, but do shut up about it a little bit.
Oh my God. Yes. Have a little bit of shame.
Anything you do in a gi, no one's scared of you. They're 100%.
Not. Yeah, just God damn it, these billionaires, dude.
Do you think some of our anger may be due to the fact of how little money we both have right now?
I hate it when you do this, when you lump me in with you. Yeah, what did you say the other day? You're like, you're just like me, Bill. You're terrified of yourself and at night you can't get to sleep because you're so many negative thoughts in your head. I'm like, what?
No, I said, you're just like me. And you said, I hate it when you do that. And I said, wait. And then what I said was actually quite realistic.
I swear there's been a couple where you're like, you're just like me, Bill. You got a tiny dick and you hate yourself. And I'm like, stop lumping me in with these.
You are as broke, if not more broke than me.
All right, whatever. Yeah, that probably checks out.
Yeah, it checks out. But also, both of us still succeeding in every way.
I was on Triple J this week. Yeah, so
unpaid spot.
The tax office can fucking, you know what I mean?
The ATO can take a break this year.
Yeah, take a year off.
A few sole traders just fucking chilling for a couple of years.
Yeah, dude. I'm a casual employee during the day and a sole trader at night. That's like a crocodile below the surface. I will only surface when I want you to see me. All right, brother, we're done. But, mate, great podcast.
Yeah, that was
one of our best, I think. We're both at the Melbourne Comedy Festival today.
Today, nice.
Well, this comes out on Thursday.
Nice. I'm opening for you tonight.
Come to the show tonight. Rowan Arneal's opening the next few shows. It's going to be so sick.
Nice. True.
Super fun.
Comedian, school camp, maybe, let's fuck around.
Maybe drop the boys off a little bit of weed.
Yeah, a bit of weed when we turn down. A little bit of weed, nothing
fucking,
else.
Pretty stressful fucking festival, just quietly, you know.
Just got to sell like 500 tickets, yeah, not a big deal.
1,000 for me. Beautiful.
Use Food Chain for cheaper tickets to my show.
Code Food Chain for tickets to Rowan's show.
All one word.
No code for my show, but the tickets are already extremely reasonable.
Yeah, nice.
You can get those tickets via our Instagram bios. And yeah, dude, come have a few scones, hang out.
Coopers, baby.
The Coopers in. What a time to be alive.
This year, my goal is to last year, I matched Melbourne energy eye to eye. This year, I'm going to be more standoffish.
Yeah, well, we were saying to Sam, the producer here at the studio, before we started that last year, we couldn't work out why none of the cool comedians went to the artist bar. And then after we like disgraced ourselves several times in front of industry figures, we realized why. It's like an office Christmas party.
Mm.
We'd just be going, it was like 11 office Christmas parties in a row where we just tried to get absolutely launched. So yeah. Looking to keep things a bit more above board this year.
Yeah, no grinding this year. That's yes. a goal. No grinding older women on the dance floor is something that I'm going
to
pass.
I was about to say. Yeah, in a relationship now. Do not lump me in with that.
Yeah, that was just me. That was just me. All right, have a good one.
Catch you.